preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, the scene before us in Exodus chapter 32 is an amazing one to study, especially to apply it to our day. Israel had been impatient down at the foot of the mountain while God was up preparing to build for them a tabernacle that he might come down and dwell with them. And in their impatience, because they felt like they were going nowhere, they constructed and had Aaron build them a new god, a golden calf, that they said would lead them to the land. So they worshiped it. They had a grand worship service for it. And it was awful. The Lord at this point has sent Moses down, and in his hands are the law, the two tablets of the testimony. And all of that, remember, as we studied yesterday, the law was given to show the exceeding sinfulness of sin. That's why the law is important, because it exposes the heart. It shines a bright light right on the idols that we're clinging to in our hearts. Well, that's where we've left off. Now remember, last scene of Israel down at the mountain is what? They are having a wow worship service down at the foot of the mountain for this calf. Joshua has been told, of course, to wait for Moses halfway up the mountain. Both of them now at this point begin to descend. And what happens? Verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There's a noise of war in the camp." Now, Joshua was a powerful military commander. He knew the roars of an army before it went into battle. It was a powerful roar. It was a motivating roar. And so, as they draw near, what does Joshua hear? This is an interesting moment in our study of Israel's sin because it highlights the extent of their idolatry and the dangerous phenomenon that had overcome and come over Israel. Joshua hears the roar, and he can't figure out what it is. "Sounds," he says, "like the noise of war, but," verse 18, "it's not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." Now, the whole thing is inspired and put in poetic form to accent just the point he's making. Did you catch that, dear listener? Let me pose it this way. He says, "I don't hear shouts of victory. It's war cries, but hold on. It's not the cry of defeat, but it's the sound of singing." Now, my question is this. How do you confuse the sound of war with the sound of singing? How do you confuse those things? Back in chapter 15, Israel sang a wonderful song together. It was the song of the horse and rider. After the Lord had delivered them, after he had drowned the Egyptians in the heart of the Red Sea, it was a powerful, inspired song of deliverance. But the curious thing here is that the singing Joshua hears, Israel singing, is nothing like he's ever heard before. It's roaring. That makes sense. Listener, what is Israel doing? They've put up a calf. And we read back in chapter 32, verse 6, remember, and 7, that they rose up to play. They sat down and they rose up to play. To understand this, you have to understand what dominated the pagan religious worship of the deities, especially in Egypt. This was the same phenomenon in Paul's day. Maybe you've been curious about that little passage in Ephesians chapter 4 where it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Why in the world is he speaking of drunkenness and singing together? Well, that combination may not make sense to you, but it sure did to Israel. And today we have the same sort of misunderstanding of what it is to be filled with the Spirit. The pagan religions would become drunk and completely lose control. So their worship services would include massive amounts of food and alcohol, and the whole religious experience would totally abandon them to sensuality. And that's what rising up to play here means. But it was believed that the more out of control you were, the more you communed with the deity. That's very important. I mean, even in Hindu mantras and chants, that was always the warning that the more you said things repetitiously, the more you had endless repetition, the more you were abandoning yourself to commune with the deity that you're worshiping. That's what Israel was doing. They were completely abandoning all control to commune with the golden calf. And as it happened, this wasn't powerless. They had directly opened themselves up to the demonic realm, to demons. Paul says that very phenomenon happened to the church in Corinth. Now, what is so chilling here is that it was music that was the means of entering them into this ecstatic state. And so what happened? It was the pagan music of the Egyptians that was totally unrestrained. And what was it about it that did that? It blasted them. It had no thought, no order, no intelligence. It was full of endless repetition, totally controlling the emotions, so that Moses observes they were dancing. The word means they were wild and out of control. In some spirit of complete stupor, of unthinking, it launched them right into demon worship. A totally out of control, ecstatic experience. The text is highlighting the singing. There was so much energy, so much roar in singing to this calf, and they never gave themselves to that kind of devotion to the God that saved them. What does that tell you, dear listener, today about idolatry and music? Music is a wonderful blessing, isn't it? God has given us music, and I love the beauty of music, but look at what can happen. You see how powerful music can be? How much division and problems there have been in the history of the church over this issue? You say, don't you want to feel good when you sing? Listen, how I feel is not the truth of the matter. That is so deceptive as a whole in my life. My feelings are so deceptive in my life. And I don't need music to manipulate my emotions. I don't need music to whip me up and blast my emotions. I know that this God loves design, he loves order, and he loves intelligence, and that my emotions have to be controlled by his truth. Did you get that? My emotions have to be controlled by his truth. Endless repetitions that leave me in some sort of trance is connecting me with something else if it's not in connection with the truth. And I have always said, why is it that the best feeling music today is full of heresy, full of incorrect theology? Music, dear listener, is a means of my overflowing heart of gratitude to praise God for his redemption and work. And I care ultimately, and you should care ultimately, about what you're singing, the content of what you're singing, and not about how you feel. Israel was totally emotionally unrestrained in the worship service as they sang to an idol of their own imaginations with demon power behind it. That's what's happened here. It was an awful, awful moment in Israel's history. Now you get a sense of what happened down at the mountain. They were totally taken under control, just like a drug. And so what happens? Moses comes down and sees the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger becomes hot. And he casts the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. What just happened? This has got to be the worst moment in Israel's history. Moses would later say in Deuteronomy, I took the two tablets and threw them out of my two hands and broke them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and the hot displeasure with which the Lord was angry with you to destroy you. But the Lord listened to me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron and would have destroyed him. So I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. When the tablets were broken, it was a prophetic act that the covenant on Sinai had already been broken and that Israel was condemned. But isn't the intercession of Moses overwhelming here, dear listener? God listened, and that is the gospel, that ultimately God didn't change his mind with regard to his people. But he was showing them that what their problem is that if they think they can attain to heaven their own way by their own power, they're already done. God had planned from the foundation of the world to send his Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that in all of our idolatries and all of our sins, ultimately what this pictures is a world under the control of the devil. That ultimately God would send his Son to break that dominion, that he would intercede and save. Christ would come down and die for us and free us. That is the gospel. And the fact that God forgives sinners like us who are like them should awestruck us today about how great grace really is. The question is, do you have that grace? Do you know the Son of God? I am not under the delusion today and denial that many in the church who are worshiping think they're worshiping the true God, but they are actually doing what Israel was doing at the foot of the mountain. They are caught up and totally overcome, not by the truth, but almost an intoxication in the idolatry of their hearts. The Lord today is calling us to see sin, to look to his Son, to enjoy him, to know him according to the truth as it is in Jesus. And as we grow in that truth, to sing to him in the beauty of his holiness, trembling before him, glorifying him, enjoying him, and knowing his powerful Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us life. May all who hear today believe in him for eternal life and know true fulfillment in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's Day. LindenURC.com is the website. Many resources there for you to get to know us, who we are, and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.